Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. You alone are worthy. Before the fullness of revival rages, our greatest and will always be is to look at you, Jesus, face to face and be conformed to your image. Lord, revival doesn't produce that. You and your image produces revival. Lord, that place to know you face to face is the place that all things mahale atiese switching now. For it's that out of that place that all things proceed, saith the Spirit of grace. One is not in front of the other. The great and mighty works, the baptisms and the outpourings and all the miracles proceed out of one place. Your sonship, which I've provided for you to know me face to face. This precedes all things, not the works that bring you into, but the intimacy and the fellowship by which all works are manifest, says the Spirit of grace. For it's in this I desire to draw you close to myself. I desire to draw you into those places of knowing me in the fullness of truth, not only in my word, but in my presence, says the Spirit of grace, that all these things proceed out of you, like breathing the next breath of air, without thought, without religion of speech, but an intimacy of heart, says the Spirit of grace. Pala carasolo. Eskete, that's right. I will heal your families by this place of intimacy. Those of you that are in authority, stay in this place and let these things be exuded from you, because from you, as the oil ran down the beard of Aaron all the way to the bottom of his skirts, know this, that proceeds out of you is out of that place of intimacy is an anointing that breaks the yoke over your families, over those whom you love and I've given you in this life to steward, says the Spirit of grace. So stay in this place. My luck, I say, yes, sir. Do not go by formulas. Use only that which I've taught you through intimacy. Never let it become something apart from intimacy. It will not work. Your faith in formulas will not produce. But that which comes by knowing me face to face, you'll have an incredible effect. You'll bring them in into the destiny that I have for them, says the Spirit of grace. Mehala soto. Mo le se, every moment counts. Every moment counts. Each moment that you spend in my presence counts for your spiritual influence and dominion over those you love, says the Spirit of grace. So stay in that place. Great days are ahead, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. What we want is presence, Father. Hallelujah. Man, I'm so glad to have these Tennessee people with us. For, I don't know, I've known Chuck and Deborah probably for, I know, I started in 97. Do you remember what year you started? 98, the next year. And Deborah would come every conference with a, sometimes Chuck couldn't make because he was working, but she would come with a buddy. And so they, you know, and Dave used to talk about the Tennessee's here, you know, he'd say Tennessee, Chuck, it would be either Chuck and Deborah or Deborah and her buddy. What's that? The what? Deborah. That's what Pastor Dave called me. Oh, okay. Deborah. Okay. Yeah. He called me Bronx for until he really got to know me. so drunk. So we just so much appreciate them and just people that they're part of. They're members of our church now. Well, they're the member, always been members of the kingdom, you know. But they're in, watch our services, support us, and it's so wonderful. And they brought their family. Of course, John and Cheryl have been here before with all their. John and Cheryl, would you guys stand up? And all of your fam, all you handsome, good-looking boys, young men, and that beautiful daughter that you guys had. Please, all stand. You guys, stand up. So this is the Harrell family, and that's Joshua, Malachi, Samuel, Abram, and Eden. She's the princess. So praise God. We're glad to have you guys. Thanks so much for being here. And hear from Deborah a little bit, and maybe Chuck just for a little bit. Want them to share for a moment, but. Hallelujah. We're going to give you an opportunity to greet each other, and when you do, you'll have an opportunity to share in giving if you'd like. Hallelujah. Hannah is here. Isn't that wonderful? And tomorrow is Hannah and Sarah's birthday together. Sisters, can you imagine? They're born on the same day. And Maya, stand up, lady. You beautiful young lady. Is it today or tomorrow? Yesterday. All right. Hallelujah. So don't let me forget to sing happy birthday to these and anybody else, okay? Before we... What's that? Don't forget. Thank you. I'm telling Harry, so... Thanks, Homer, though. Homer had an awesome... God had an awesome service yesterday. He'll share that next Sunday extensively. Hallelujah. I am so fortunate, as many of you are, to come up under, you know, when I met Dave Roberson, I wasn't just newly born again. I had been born again since 11, filled with the Holy Spirit at 12, 13. Went to 4 years of Bible college, sat under doctors of theology and Greek and Hebrew scholars. Some of them could speak and write the languages. And I'd been a youth pastor at 16. I had like years and years of ministry, but religion. I'm not so sure that there's still not parts of religion in us, but how many are glad to be free? Glory to God. And I had the opportunity to listen to some of the best, and still do, and Pastor Dave and Gary Carpenter and Jim Martin. And these guys have all taught series on kingdom finances and giving and those things concerning the kingdom in regards to our giving and our receiving and our prosperity. Some of my favorite times, even at conferences, were times of exhortation. I learned sometimes more out of those offering exhortations, and I really missed them because I really learned, and it wasn't that anybody was trying to solicit anything. They were just teaching us as faith builders towards understanding. Jim just got through with a wonderful series on finances, and not just giving, but on money and different things. Gary did one last year. Incredible teachings. Pastor Day was, I met him in 97. He was just a few years removed from, I'm going to say it this way, from the love of money. He was really starting to really die. And his teachings had really started changing in the way that he took up offerings. By the time I knew him, he'd already got to that place, but he spoke in relevance to, and he never would mention names, but all the big names that he ran around with that had infiltrated his life and his understanding on why we give, why we should give or why we shouldn't give, and all the prosperity teachers. So it infiltrated him just incredibly. He came to a place where I lived in Fort Myers, and just a couple of years before then. And Dave was good. He was good. He said, when I was doing that, he said the guys that could step up to an audience and get a big offering, he said, I could follow them and I was better than the best, he said. But the problem was, it was all motivated by a wrong spirit. Dave said things like this. He said, the lowest form of giving, the bottom rung of giving, if you've got you on your mind, that's the lowest form of giving. Why? Because our giving is giving out of a place of sonship. That already we know he's met our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's not to get. It's giving out of a place that we know that he's our provider. Hallelujah. And if we're giving to get, he said that was the lowest form. It was the lowest form. Why? Because he's provided a place for us that somebody else should be on our mind. What? Who is that? That's the harvest. That is the harvest. We're given this, Father, not because we're wanting to get something from you. That's already been supplied. You'll supply and meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. Why? Because I give? Absolutely not. You see, there's two areas of giving. Two avenues, two truths running parallel with each other. I remember when Gary Carpenter first started coming down here. You know, you always ask somebody that knows more than you. And I still was a good Assembly of God boy coming out of all that. And they're good people. But I'd had years of sow a seed and meet a need. I'd had all that. But then I started listening to somebody like Gary Carpenter. And I caught him one time in the office in there. Now, this has been decades ago, okay? All that got washed away a long time ago. And I've taught series. I said, now, is there any reason? Can my giving affect him in my provision for any reason? I mean, because I still had that twinge, you know, Chuck. There was still some stuff running around in there a little bit. Because I thought I saw stuff here in the Word and there in the Word. He said, no. None. He said, it's all based on sonship and your faith. That he is your Father and he'll meet your need. Now he's got, and I do, you've got line on line to prove that. I'm just telling you the essence. He said, well, there's maybe one caveat, just this in the sense of the word stewardship. Like, stewardship is if you want to give as a steward and then let him watch you in your giving. And saying, Lord, you're proving me. And you'll add more to me. Because I'm going to steward this and give it to the kingdom. But it has nothing to do. Listen, I'm going to look into the camera. Don't you ever, 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 ever give $10 or 20 or 100 or 1,000 to this ministry so he'll meet your next month's mortgage payment. Don't you ever do it. Because that's part of your provision. You square your shoulders up or a son or daughter and say, you meet all of my need according to your riches and glory because I'm yours. I'm absolutely yours. But then he'll look on the other side and say, oh, hey, you mean if I gave you that? I saw what you did with that money. I saw what you did with that increase. You sowed it for souls to be born again. I think I'll send you another 1,000. Then you sow that 1,000. He said, oh, you know what? Does that mean I can trust you? And he'll send you 10, and you'll sow that 10, and he'll say, Holy Spirit, are you watching this? Angels, are you watching this? I give them money, and they don't go on vacation with it. Or they go, maybe they go on vacation with some of it, but they don't spend it all on themselves. And he starts saying, come over here. We got somebody we can trust.
Amen.
And so he just starts, because it is required, the word says, of a steward, that he be counted faithful. Can he trust you? That's another area. But that's not provision. That's not you eating and having a roof over your head or them taking your car away. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Kissing the word of God. Like kissing candy and the word. Candy always tells me, don't say things like you say. Okay. So when you give this morning, give out of that place. He supplies and meets all your need. So, hallelujah. Chuck and Deborah, come up here because y'all are so handsome and beautiful. Share a little bit. I don't know. You can just start preaching if you want to, and then you call a line or what. Just share a little bit because these guys, they've been ministering for years, and we just, y'all step over here with a camera can make you real pretty.
Good morning. Chuck has already said I'm not going to say anything. He's given it to me, so I told him he could answer to you for that. I'm going to make one little correction. Our oldest grandson's name is Josiah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. We forgive you, Pastor. It could be my handwriting, too. So, just asking the Lord this morning, you know, what do you want to say? I don't take anything lightly when it comes to standing here because I know what you already know and what you've already been taught. So it's kind of intimidating, actually, for me to stand here. But I do want to tell you, I was hearing this morning, I am a product of His grace and mercy. What you see standing before you is like the woman who came to him with the alabaster box. Where Jesus, when he explained to them, because the disciples didn't understand, the people didn't understand that were around him, and he told them, you know, a certain master, he had a couple of servants. One owed him 500 pence, one of them 50. He forgave them both. Which one do you think loved this master the most? And the response was, of course, I suppose the one to whom he has forgiven the most. That's who you're looking at.
Hallelujah.
When I first gave my life to the Lord, really gave, I mean, I started at age 5, was in church all my life. But I was 30 years old before I met him. And I fell so in love because of what he brought me out of. And I don't give that testimony because I'm not going to give any glory to the enemy this morning. I'm giving glory to what he has done and his mercy and grace in my life. And one of when we were first in, we I was in a denominational church, and a lady that was there, she told my husband, she kind of patted him, and she said, she loves much because she's been forgiven much. Because he wasn't really understanding it either. I'm so in love with him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I've been on the opposite side of that love and grace. It was in my life always. I had parents that loved the Lord with everything they knew. Then I was introduced to a ministry right not long after that. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. God sent a little. Let me tell you, God will place people in your path. When you're hungry for Him, He will send people your way to get to you what He wants you to experience. He wants all of us to experience it. But when He finds hunger in there, He will send people. So this little gal was from Kentucky. They moved to the same town we lived in. She just happened to have a daughter the same age as one of mine. I met her at a skating rink. And there was something about her. I didn't know what it was, but we became friends. I followed her around, saw her lay hands on a lawnmower that wasn't working, and it started to work. And in my denomination, there was no such thing as that. So I looked at her one day. I said, I don't know what it is you have, but I want it. And she said to me, you'll have it. And it wasn't long. I found myself at her house praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got one word. Had no idea the importance of praying in tongues. Didn't know anything about Pastor Dave. Then he sent a guy from Nassau, Bahamas, into a meeting that I was in. And this particular gentleman went to hear Pastor Dave up in Gatlinburg. I took him up there and dropped him off and came back home. I had no idea. And so he came back and he was telling me, you need to hear this. You need to. So I went. This was right after Pastor Dave and Michael had just come out of that seeking time in worship. Right. And the presence of God so captured my heart in one service. And I've not been the same since. I called a friend of mine. I said, you know, this guy, he was in the room, but he wasn't there. When he walked in, the presence of God was on him so strong. And I thought, he is somewhere else. And so that captured my attention. See, you wonder why you cry out for the presence. All the things that you're doing that seem sometimes to be mundane seem to be, you know, you're doing this and you're doing this. God, is it working? But let me tell you something. All it takes for people is one encounter with His presence. One encounter with His presence can change your life forever. Now you have to make decisions from there forward. But that one encounter with the presence of God changed my life forever. All my grandkids you see back here, all five of these, I have two more, all five of these baptized in the Holy Ghost, love the Lord. My daughter, my son-in-law, you ask me how He has blessed my life. He changed me. I love Him much because I have been forgiven much, but so have you. See, that's the thing most people that have been born again don't realize. Whether you ever walked in depths of sin or not, you've been forgiven much because you had the capacity to walk in the depths of sin. And that's what He took from you when you got born again. Hallelujah. You have a new nature. Praise the Lord. And me and Homer over here could preach to you about Romans for a long time, along with Pastor Wrong. Homer and I was sitting at was privileged to sit at dinner with him the other night, and he got talking about Romans. I said, my God, that's my book. Hallelujah. But we are so grateful to be able to be here with you. This is refreshing to us because, see, we sit at home and watch church. We don't have a church family that we're in contact with. I mean, we have you, but it's not the same as being in the room and being in His presence with you. So we're very grateful. Thank you so much for receiving us the way you have. We love you all.
Now you see why I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to follow that. But we are proud to be here, and we're very, very thankful to be a part of this walk, because it is a walk.
Just love those people, just humble. Josiah, I'm sorry I misspoke, because if there's any of you guys I should remember, it's you. I mean, I got a Josiah. Hallelujah. Let me recap from last. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for that wonderful testimony and testimonies. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in us. Speak again. Yes. Speak again. Yes. Love you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Love all of you out there watching this morning. Appreciate your prayers. Last Sunday, we started a series, and you know, I don't intend on series so much. I just start hearing, and then we're not even going to touch it this morning again. But it's important to recap some things, because some people haven't heard last week, and then it's always good to recap, because even what you've heard, hearing it again kind of distills it inside of you in a wonderful way. So you can turn here if you'd like, but I'm just going to kind of go through some things, and you can either turn or listen. But 1 Corinthians 12 is where we actually get this one particular gift. Now, I'll say this. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and there is 5 administrations and 8 operations, according to Romans chapter 12. But we're centralizing our thoughts primarily on one particular gift of the 9, and that's discerning of spirits. And so this series is discerning of spirits, and this is part 2 for those of you that have that are taking notes or listening. So there are the verse 4 says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, meaning Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And there are diversities of administrations, 5 of those. We won't list them all now, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, 8 operations, and we won't list all those now. But it is of the same God, which worketh all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. How many of you want to profit? And I'm not just talking about financially, but we want to profit in spiritual things too. So why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, I want to profit. I want a prophet. So I'm going to listen real close to all this. Hallelujah. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge. And we're not going, teaching on all these. We're centralizing, as I said, on one particular one. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts, plural, of healing by the same Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. And to another, here we go, prophecy. And to another, a discerning of spirits, as in S, plural, to another diversity of diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues, which those must go together. But all these worketh one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills, and for the purpose of profiting in the things of God. But he says in verse 31, to covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. It's really possible. And this is one thing that we want to get across to you. And I think we try and, you know, most of you are getting it and have for a long time. It's possible to have all the gifts. The Corinthian church is not, they're an example that the gifts can exist in the church, but they're not an example of the severally as he wills was more an example of them being divided than them being unified. And we want to walk like Jesus, and we want to walk in the spirit of unity. And so his, let me say it this way without going too far into that direction. It's his perfect will for you to walk in all the 9 gifts and work and walk fluidly. Just, you know, not that they just work as he will, as the situation arises more than anything else. As he wills is more of a quote or more of a terminology based on the problem that was in the church. So there definitely is a more excellent way, and that is in chapter 13, and we're not going there. One of the most coveted gifts of the Spirit that will be needed in these last days is discerning of spirits. Well, all of them are, but of course we are honing in and centralizing on discerning of spirits. It is part of the equipping of the saints against deception on the personal level, doctrinal level, and the ability to see into the spirit realm for the purposes of seeing angelic and demonic activity, troop movement, and in both camps. And so we made a transition last week, even using some Greek and Hebrew words that kind of helped us make that transition and proved some of the scripture contextually with what I'm talking about discerning of the spirits, or is not just discerning what's present, but is also looking into the spirit realm oftentimes. And we gave scriptural examples of that, which we again won't go into this morning, and we've got a whole lot more in the next service or weeks to come whenever that happens. We listed Ephesians chapter 1 as a place where it talked about our dominion with him, he being in a place of dominion over, it says in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And so then in verse 6 of 2, verse chapter 2, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. So we're seated, what? In Christ. So if we're seated in him, then we're also with him, right? So we're in that place of authority. We're principalities and powers. We're ruling over them. Hallelujah. You guys freezing on the front row? You okay? What's that? Oh, yeah. Okay, Marty, just 1 degree. Okay. They said they like it. Okay. All right. You don't have to do anything. We did bring out this, that notice, we wanted you to really notice this, notice that spirit is in the plural sense, as in spirits, and so discerning of spirits. And so there's actually three different areas that we really want to kind of bring to your attention more than anything else: human spirits, and angelic spirits, and in demonic spirits. And how important this is to covet these things. Well, what would you say would be covet? It would be the desire. It would be to personally ask Jesus as the administrator of the church to give you the gift. And then privately, when you're worshiping him, saying, Lord, thank you. If you were really honing in and saying, Lord, I want the gift of miracles where I can work your miracles. This is just another one. Lord, I'm asking you as you spend your time praying in the spirit, maybe vacillating between worship and praying in the spirit, that you're saying, you may ask him one time, and then you don't repetitively maybe ask him the next time, but then you thank him for it. Lord, I thank you, because it begins to build faith in, I thank you that you've given me the gift of discerning of spirits. I walk in, then you make confessions. I walk in this in fullness. I walk in this. I perceive with the mind of Christ. I see things way before they ever get to me. I see in the spirit. I see demonic movement. I can read people. I can see things, not with a persona of personality, but I see some, because you know, sometimes you'll look at people and you'll think, that's a mean person, or that's a person that's really not, I don't want to be around. The Holy Spirit shows you their spirit. And then it's beautiful. You say, well, man, that's not what I thought of them, because I saw them on the outside and God sees the people on the inside. We went into the Greek on discerning what it actually means, diakoreis, rhesus, and it has a number of different meanings. It just really means to discern. It means to make a distinction, to discriminate, to determine, to give judgment, or to decide, actually to decide on something. So let me skip along here. We gave, this is one of my favorite examples in the New Testament, and I'll just touch on it for a moment, that when Jesus, this is in Luke chapter 10, we read that whole thing, we're not going to do that this morning, can't. Verse 1 says, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two, or sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And they came back. That 70 came back, however long it was. I don't know. Scripturally wise, I don't know. But if it was days, weeks. And they really had an incredible report. But what astounded them more than anything was demonic activities. They actually had power over demons. And they were like, this is incredible. And they were just like really excited about it. And it says in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, I mean, they were really, wow, we saw it with you, but I mean, we speak your name and then they do what we tell them to do, are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, now in response to this, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. And Jesus was speaking directly to them in response of what he saw. So, we broke down what the word, that phrase, I beheld, what it means in the Greek. But this is what Jesus was literally saying. Jesus was literally said, I discerned when you were doing what you were doing and casting out devils. I discerned, looked and saw into the spirit realm. And when you were casting out devils in these cities, it appeared as lightning falling from the sky. Satan's dominion was being broken over their lives, of course, which is great. What we will see in discerning of spirits will invigorate, I'll just use that word this morning, it'll do something for your faith in spiritual warfare for your city, for your nation, for your family, for your kids. It will also equip you by the Holy Spirit to station angels. As you see troop movement or the Holy Spirit speaks to you, sometimes discerning of spirits is not always just seeing, but having a great discernment, like an incredible, I would call it an incredible witness or a testimony of the Holy Spirit. We used an example, again, for time. I won't go into it, but in 2 Kings, this is an Old Testament example. Remember Elisha, his servant, the angels, the horses, the chariots. And we went through that last Sunday. You know, he wakes up. He's in Dothan. Syria has surrounded him with, I don't know how many, a bunch. And he looks up, and there's physical horses and chariots. How many enjoyed Candy's testimony last week? That was really good. It brought into perspective spiritual things. And we said just on a practical level, there's no, you know, spirituality in this as far as growth-wise. But there are spiritual things and physical things and spiritual things, they're spiritual horses. So the servant was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And Elisha said, open his eyes. This is the crux. This is one of the biggest cruxes of, or emphasis of this whole lesson. If I can get this over to you, if I can, and I believe he can, is that we want to transition as spiritual people, as revivalists in these last days, not to live as much as we do, we've got to live in this realm, but to transition and start walking in a place of being able to see into or look into or fill into, if you want to use that phrase, that spiritual realm. Have an awareness. And I don't think that this is, I don't think you just practice this in the sense of the word like, I'm going to start. This is birthed in intimacy with Christ. And then you begin to get not cognizantly aware, but spiritually aware. How many of you fathers, I mean, this is, you don't have to answer, but you fathers are the covering or the keeping of the home and stuff. And especially in these last days, and this is not an indictment against, because I'm still just learning. How many of you go into places and you sit down and you're just, you can enjoy the moment, but you're discerning. You see, we got to get to this place. You're discerning three tables over or what's in the room. And I'm not a paranoid person. I sleep real good, but we've got to get to a place where we're discerning things around us. Sometimes I'll sit down. I don't ever say nothing to my family. I'm thinking, what's the closest escape route? Something starts over there. I know which way I'm going. I know how I'm going to get them out. I know how to stop anybody that's going to come and try to stop me. I'm trying to think, not just in the mind, but what is around, what's going on around us. And that's not just in safety things. That's in things concerning the spirit realm. Now, we should keep our minds on Christ and not get goofy. But at the same time, he will lead us into where we're not just always living in a natural world. Because you can be fooled in the natural world. Yeah. If you're a person who lives in the natural realm all the time, we'll talk more about that this year in just a moment. So this servant of his, he looked into the spirit realm, and Elisha said, open his eyes. And when his eyes were opened, simultaneously or paralleled with all the, you know, the physical, were angels and chariots. And so what it did to him was, it obviously, when you see, and he said, Elisha said, and we use that, it's a, you know, we love to use that, there's far more for us than those that be against us. And that's true. There really is. But we've got to, if we begin to see those things, whether you actually see it or you just absolutely are living in it and saying, I'm walking in the authority of Christ. So when you speak something, if you think you're just speaking it in the air, that's, and then you believe God does, but you really, and I'm not preaching at you, I'm saying this is, I'm trying to be developed in this. When I speak something, I'm expecting these angels that are around me at times, or I set into effect. Holy Spirit is in me and with me. He's in and out. He's in and out. He's surrounding me. But there's all kinds of things going on in the spirit realm. All kinds of things. Some of you are looking like, really? A spiritual, no, I don't know, I'm not saying there is, but a spiritual train can be running right through here right now. I mean, you could have an angel standing where this pulpit's at because it's two different dimensions. They're not, they can overlay each other. But when you speak and you release your authority, you should vision and really ask God to give you that, things start working, man. I mean, things start working. And if you can see that in the spirit realm, see it with your, even with your heart, then it'll initiate faith. When you say to a devil, some of you haven't had, I grew up in Pentecost, I've seen a lot of devils come out and seen stuff. I'm going to be like Deborah, I'm not going to glorify him, but Sherry's seen it. But anyway, I've seen ladies at 105 and whip every man in here. I don't care how big you are. In yourself. Because you can't hold them down. But I've seen one word of Jesus. Yeah. Pastor Dave. Yes. He used to get people, when the ones that really wanted to shout real loud, he would say, just shh, back up. Back up. And I've seen him do it. He's cast them out in this church. And I've seen him just get over and cup his hands over. Somebody asked him one time, what did you say? What did you say? You had the secret formula. We were all like, come out, come out. I'm telling you, come out. And he goes, what did you say? And he said, I said, come out. It's not what you say. It's when you believe that you set into effect. Yes. Amen. Oh, my God. When you set into effect, you're just seeing this. You're seeing something taking place. And so it's very, very, very powerful when you understand that. So discerning, we broke down discerning. I talked about Pastor Dave. I gave the example about the discerning of spirits when he's seen that ruler of darkness. And then I gave a testimony how that the Lord, now this is on the human side, how the Lord started teaching me years ago. And to start with, I didn't even realize it because, and again, I don't ever want to demean anybody. I use things as an example, not by name, but I used this last week talking about how that there was somebody in my life, a very important person, knew the Lord once, fell away, and they were in a progression. I guess they were in that progression when I saw this. And they were very close and had a lot of authority in the church. And I think I was over here. I think I was. But it was like a greeting time, and it was like, you know, and I was like, it happened so fast that it was weird to me. But I didn't know it was discerning of spirits. Later, by Scripture and by Holy Spirit teaching me, I learned later that I was seeing something. So I walked by this guy and I shook his hand, or we just hugged, and he sat down or whatever, but that's not important. The important part was there was a glitch. You know, like looking at your cell phone or a computer screen, and all of a sudden something glitches and it was there and it's not there. But you know you saw something. And you're like, wow. And what you saw, you're like, I can't even quite describe it, but it was ugly and it was perverted, and it just, and that person's face turned that way. That's all I saw. That person, I was like, oh. And then I sat down and I was like, I think Dave was about to teach. And I was like, that's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. You know, I just saw something and then I didn't see it. And I was like, I thought it was a devil. And then later I began, when things started coming out, I realized it wasn't a devil, but I was in the beginning stages of looking into the spirit world, into the spirit realm, and seeing glitches. Those glitches were, that glitch was something. Now, somebody said, well, his truths are not whims. In other words, but if I would have known more, and which I know more now, I would have taken that privately. And I didn't even tell anybody. Last week was the first time I shared it, I think 20 years, but or more. But anyway, discerning of spirits, human, angelic, and even in regards to family. Human, angelic, and devils. And when I say family, discerning of spirits, I'm going to talk about this. Discerning of spirits is a gift. I mentioned three areas. I meant to say human, angelic, and devils, and I think I did say that second time. But discerning of spirits for us is, it's a safeguard. It's a safeguard. It's an ability not only to see troop movement and station angels, but it's also a safeguard for your family, for your personal life. And you're supposed to always stay sweet and nice and handle things in the spirit, unless you have to handle something in the natural. We taught our girls, Davy's next door, Amber's right here. We taught our girls growing up, you got Jesus. The best way we could get it over to them, you got Jesus in your belly. Because the Holy Ghost is, we said, we teach them from little, you got Jesus in your belly. And I think they say that to their kids now. What does that mean? And we would say, Daddy wants you to know, and we didn't try to, you know, make them where they thought, you know, something bad was going to happen to them. But, you know, so that we had them a nervous wreck. But we said, if we let you go off anywhere or spend the night anywhere or do anything, if, because we would teach them about that belly was a witness. If you get a yuck, that's all we could say. If you get a yuck or a sick feeling about being somewhere or about family, we did something that a lot of pastors don't, and they destroy their home. We said, everybody in the church, everybody in your world is up for a witness. We didn't leave anybody out. That's the way you should be with your kids. Amen. Teach them that they got Jesus in their belly. Good. Praise God. Thank you. So it works in a wonderful way that parents should war, and grandparents should war with a sense of discerning of spirits, with all diligence over their children and over their grandchildren. And we should speak into their future. Speak spouses, speak friends, speak, because here's the thing, we need to be aware of this. And I was looking because I wanted to compare one note with another. Satan will have, and I call him this, this is the, I guess the best terminology I can use is sent ones. Yes. They're sent.
Yes.
They're sent. You know, Jesus has got a, here, the Lord of the church has got a, he's got a 1-year plan for you. He's got a 5-year plan for you. He's got a 10-year plan and he's got a 20-year plan. But you've got a corresponding adversary.
Yes.
He's got a 1-year plan.
Yes,
he's got a 2-year plan.
Yes,
he he's got a 5-year plan. Yeah. If the 1-year plan don't work, he'll just weave the 5-year plan in.
That's right. Yes.
And he'll just start weaving sent ones
yes.
into your life.
Yep.
And unless you are, or unless you've got a mom or daddy or grandparent or some that can watch over sent ones, you just think they're the greatest thing that's it. You know, Christians, I hate to say this, are the most naive people on the planet. You say Jesus, if you say Jesus, Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, word people, you have dismantled everything. Let me give you my social security number, credit cards, routing to my checking account. I just think about some, all of us every day. I guess you do too. I get probably, dear Lord, 3, 4, 5 scams on my phone, you know, almost every day, all the time. You can see them. You see them when they come up. And then a lot of them are just, you know, an 8-year-old was doing it or a 10-year-old or something. It's stupid. And then some of them, they're pretty close. You got to look. Just, oh, no, I know they wouldn't ask that. You know, that credit card wouldn't ask that or that confirmation. And so you just know. And one day I was reading one after church, I think it was. Davey, the ones next door, she was sitting in there. And it was asking, you know, just click here and just because you need to confirm. We're checking on you, you know, that we want to make sure. And I said, oh, look, they care about, I said, and I was telling Candy, she's cooking or something. I said, Candy, we need to give them, our, you know, checking account routing number, last 4 digits of my social security, our, you know, investment, codes and stuff like that. And Davey is sitting over there. She thought I was serious. She goes, oh, God, Dad, don't do that. I said, no, baby, I'm not. I said, I'm making fun of these people. They're crazy. They're crazy, you know. And so, but the body of Christ, besides for not walking in discerning of spirits, are some of the most naive people on the planet. You drop Jesus and that's it. Here's my kids. Date my daughter, date my husband, date my wife. Oh, glory, my God, you just, oh, man. So we get dismantled so easy. It was so easy. You should be able to love people incredibly and be able to work for God's CIA.
Yeah.
Like, I can hug you and you don't even know. I'm all over you. I'm just, because he's got a 1-year, 3-year, as I said. Jesus knew Judas, who he was, when he shook, the first time he ever shook his hand or hugged him. It wasn't, he didn't get 2 years in his ministry and said, oh my God, I can see by the way he's acting, he's a thief. He knew from the very moment. He knew who Judas was from the very moment because he was walking and discerning of spirits. We need, and I believe we are, and you out there growing, we need a firewall of elders who are absolutely prepared for the posterity of revival, which means we bring them in. The masses won't be so much sent ones. They'll just be good old sinners that need to get born again. And they're going to come with a ton of faults. But then you've got sent ones.
Yes.
Sent ones where they've, I don't even know, some of them might know, but they've got a program running in them that they're going to mess up things.
Yes.
And they're going to mess up churches, and they're going to mess up people, and they're going to mess up families if they can.
Yes.
And you need to be able to see into the spirit realm. Keep Jesus in your belly. Hallelujah. The church has lost its papas that look over things and say, behind closed doors, I don't trust that person. Oh God, you shouldn't say that. That defies love. No, I'm talking about papas,
yes,
and mamas, grannies or mamas in the spirit that say, mm-mm, there's something. Something. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Drip, you need dripping in love. Dripping in love. Just dripping in love. Do anything to help somebody and be able to say, just not right. If we do that, we can speak over our families, position angels, bring into effect, cut off.
Yes.
Some things need to be cut off.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Some things need to be just,
yeah.
Some friends need to go away.
Yeah. True.
He has a 1-year plan. He has a 2-year plan, Jesus. The enemy has a 1-year. But then there's sent ones from the other side to mess up your life, or your child's life, or your grandparent's life, or your grandchild, or, well, mama, they're just the hottest thing that ever's been. Well, God will send you another hottie hotter than them. But let God break it off. He's got some hotties that, the good hotties, and he'll replace the bad hotties. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Seeing, discerning of spirits, or seeing into the spirit realm, that's what we're wanting to get across. Seeing into the spirit realm is not just for an experience. It's not just so you can say, hey, I saw something. It's for the purpose of knowledge and faith for authority. What if we live more in that other realm? What if we see these things and we say, oh, that didn't scare me. I just saw it. Now I know what to do. I'll take authority. I'll just break that off before it. Just stop. Just break that off before it starts. We're not really. Jesus knew things. He didn't walk into Jerusalem and get caught. He knew. I'm yielding myself as a lamb. Hi, Judas, I know you're my betrayer. He just knew those things. But he loved. It creates seeing in the spirit realm. It creates an authority. Discerning of spirits can come through or be assisted by dreams and visions. Now, let me just talk about that just for a few moments. Dreams and visions. Now, I would call these Daniel at least twice called them night visions. You could call night visions or dreams. Job once or twice, Isaiah called them night visions. But you've heard me, and I would relegate this to the area of discerning of spirits. We were going through something in the church, and there were things changing. But it was not just for that particular time. It was for something to be instilled in me for always. I was in a dream in which Candy woke me up out of, but you've heard me tell this. And this is a discerning of spirits in the sense that it taught me something. I was in a dream. It was the most realist dream, true to life dream that I've ever had. And, well, there's one other that I'm going to mention, too, that was as real to life. I mean, it was just life. It was just, I mean, when I woke up, I was still there. But I was in a service, and it was this church. The pulpit then was on the stage, and I will note it wasn't this worship team. But there was a, you know, we were worshiping. We were worshiping, and the house was full, and it, in a dream, you can do anything with a dream. You can kind of make things, and it seemed to be much bigger, more people, and it was just, you know, a lot of people here, and a lot larger, I would say, church. Well, I was where I'm at. I haven't changed this place probably in 25 years, so I was right here. And the pulpit was up there, and Jesus come walking right out of, we were in worship. We were just worshiping, like just giving it all. And Jesus walked right over here, just walked, but the stage was bigger. You know what, you can do anything in a dream. It was bigger, a lot of people. And he come walking out of that wall right over there and walked right up here. And stood behind the pulpit and, real kind of well-built, squared shoulders. But he was in a long white robe and handsome, very handsome. And when he walked out and started towards the pulpit and he walked over, the room went berserk. And I heard somebody behind me say, "Oh, my God, it's Jesus." And the whole room went, I mean, it was like unbelievable. And I'm standing down there and I'm looking and I'm like, I'm crushed. I'm just like, Jesus has walked into my service, our service. And he walks up real humbly and takes hold of the pulpit. And I'm like, I'm just probably crying. Just, I don't know. I'm just broken. He literally walks into our service. And the people are just worshiping. Oh, my God, it's Jesus in our midst. It's Jesus in our midst. And he's receiving our worship. And then the most oddest thing that ever happened, he looks over to me like this in the most hideous look. And it was only between, the stare was only between then everybody else. People were still there, but it was just me and him. And he did this with a sneer on his face. And my eyes in the spirit opened up. And I said, "Oh my God, it's Satan. It wasn't Jesus. It was a phony, fake, imposter." And he was like, "I've got everybody in this room fooled." And at that, I began to protest. "Get off." Candy woke me up, and I was yelling in our bedroom. And I was saying, "Get off my stage. Get off my stage." She goes, "Honey, honey." And I was, "Get off my stage." The Holy Spirit began to teach me about phony and fake and how the enemy, if people are not discerning, the levels of what we face in these last days, only those who walk in the Spirit and truly stay in places of intimacy and really follow Christ will be able to discern. I had another dream, and it was years later, and similar. The church was even bigger. It was this church, but it was much bigger. And we were having some service. I don't know what it was, but it was worship. The first one, as I just told you, was a fake Jesus, but this one was a fake atmosphere, a phony atmosphere. And I didn't know it to start with. And I don't know why. I guess I was down there again. I don't know where I was at, found myself in this dream. But it was like, there might have been hundreds. It was just a big, big church. And we were worshiping. And I was looking around. And this is no indictment about the, to the elders. But God had to use elders in my dream to get something across to me. I couldn't see anybody of authority. I was looking around. I couldn't see anybody of authority. And I said, well, my God, where's all the leaders at? Where's all the preachers? Or where's all? And so I went outside, and they were outside. Some of them were working in the bathroom. Some of them were working on some kind of project. In other words, they were oblivious to whatever was going on inside. They were, their attention was drawn away to doing other stuff. And I said to one of them, I said, my God, what are you doing in here? We're having service in there. And they were like, okay, they weren't mean or there was no argument. It was like, I needed to fix this, pastor, and I needed to go out and fix it. But inside, I knew there was a big service going on, and I couldn't find any authority, no authority. And then when I walked back in, I'm looking at the front, and the front's, this is a small church. I'm looking at this, a huge assembly, and the people, by the time I got back in, are rocking. I mean, the place is jamming. It's like you could just, there's electricity in the air. And you just tingle. I mean, it was like, and there was a worship group on the stage, and it was a band, and they were cranking it. They were just cranking it. And the atmosphere was, it was so conducive to excitement, electricity, and yet, I looked into the spirit realm and I saw that everybody had come under an atmosphere, and it was a phony, fake, induced, demonically induced, because the group that was up there was, they had, I knew when I walked back in, I was like, God, what's going on here? And all authority was outside of the building. Inside the building, the place was rocking. It was like going to a stadium. And the people were just, they were like supposedly worshiping, but the group on the stage had no anointing, but they were turning the people on with a high volume, I mean, rock it out praise. And the people had come under the sedation, hypnotically, under the sedation of that, and they were seduced under it. And I walk back into it, and all of a sudden I realize, and I'm coming to the front, and I'm telling, shut this thing. And nobody was listening to me because the volume was so high. And everybody was like, yeah, it was almost like a frenzy, like we're worshiping God, glory to God. But it was fake. There was no life in it. And I'm walking up the center aisle, and I'm saying, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down. And I couldn't get anybody to shut it down, and I come out of the dream. And I realized how the enemy will come in with under the flesh in the seduction of high volume, high tempered, high electric services, where you can seduce people and bring their flesh under a place where the line of anointing, I mean, you can get excited in Christ. I'm not against that. I'm not against jumping, running, and shouting. But there is, unless you can see and discern, there's also that spirit is so close. So close. Now here's the real this is the real thing about this. Of that whole thing. This is the bottom line. This is the most important. When I'm walking back up through the center and there's hundreds of people and I'm seeing hundreds of people and this place is rocking, there was something inside of me that even though I knew I had to shut it down, I could feel the intoxication of success. It felt so good. No more were the Friday nights years of nobody had calling in the lost. No more handful of people on a Wednesday night. I felt the success of hundreds of people now that I got to pastor. And that place was rocking. It took everything I could do inside of me to say no. Listen, if you think that Jesus, what the Bible says, he was in all points tempted like as we. Now, temptation's not temptation unless it's really temptation. If he didn't feel it all when the devil's tempting him, and that's not the last of the temptations. If he didn't feel the temptation all the way down to his toenails, when the enemy would come at him with a woman or the thoughts of a woman, if he didn't feel that, like it's trying to pull me away. Now, some of that, well, I know there's another side of that if you've got stuff in you, but just your human person, if you're put together straight, will. Jesus felt it all. It took everything I could. I was like, shut it down. But God, the success. Oh my God. Can I just watch it for 5 more minutes? I didn't. There was part of me that the human part was like, the battle is over. And when he said, if you'll fall down and worship me, he was basically giving him a way out. You don't have to go to the cross, and I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. And it probably felt really good. I mean, like, Listen, temptation's not temptation unless it is temptation. Otherwise, it's not a temptation. It's just it doesn't mean anything. But that's where God began to teach me on discerning of spirits. Seeing night visions and seeing physical things in different things in life. I pray we all, myself included, come to another level of discerning of spirits. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Teach us, Holy Ghost. Teach us. We need this for this last push towards revival. Father, we love you. Keep everyone. Their properties, their homes. Lord, give us, we thank you for your peace. And we thank you that what we have spoken, we see will come to pass in the days ahead. Even on this storm, we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you Sunday. Take care of your homes, your families, and God bless you out there. Pray for us, those of you on the website, or the streaming, rather.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?